Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast after a one-week hiatus. I am one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Yeah, apologies for last week. We both had some stuff going on.
Yep.
But we're back and ready to cover a pretty important week, Dano. In the grand scheme of things, because I am officially saying that upgrade season is among us. So we're here to delve into upgrade targets and tell you who you should or shouldn't grab.
Yep. We'll start off, though, with our group winner, Ian's team. And this is one of the greatest team names I've ever seen, Paddo. Go Wacko for Kakko. What did he score?
Yeah.
And who was in his team?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant team name. But Ian scored 2,372, which is massive in a week where some people copped all the 30-odd rookie scores, like myself. So great job to avoid most of that, even avoided Luke Trainer's two, which was devastating, Dano. He was stuck as my emergency. Anyway, so in defense, had Nick Martin and Matty Roberts go big for him. Once again, hold your primos. Brayshaw, Dacos, Raul, Chera in the midfield did great for him. So that was awesome. Tristan Cherry was his vice captain. It's got a nice 144. Nice. And Maxi Gawn is his other ruck. And the forward line, pretty stock standard, except for no Jason Horn Francis. His flex was Elijah Hewitt. We'll talk about him a bit later. And of course, the man, Isaac Kakko, was on his bench. Didn't need him though, because he didn't get his 55.
Yeah, fair. We'll go on to our results and ranks while my super coach actually decided it wants to crap itself. So bear with me, Paddo. I know I dropped like 7,000 spots in one round, like one bad score. Yeah. So you start with yours while I'm trying to load mine.
Yeah, I dropped nearly 5,500 ranks to, so I'm now ranked 13K. With a 2060. So still cracked the 2000, but was not good at all. So I copped Moraes on field for a 30. I copped, who else did I cop? Lindsay 55, Nevitt 40, Zach Reed 38. So I know a lot of people had it worse. But that was very frustrating for me. I did nail Andy Brayshaw as my captain, Dano, and I know you've got an interesting story to tell about that. So I'll let you tell that one. But Lachie Whitfield is doing great for me in defence. Had a nice 145 against whoever the fuck. Oh, against Adelaide. Of course, held Matty Roberts for 119. Patrick Hoops is killing me. 82. That's got to change soon. Matty Rao 130. Tristan Cherry 144. Okay, forward line was nice. Had nothing under 80, but making some moves this week, which we'll go into after.
Okay, so mine's just loaded in. So I got a 2047. So I didn't drop 7,000 spots. I dropped 5,939 spots. So now I'm down to 12,153. So a bit annoying, but anyway. Now, the thing that Paddo's referring to is that I had Andy Brayshaw as VC who got 120. And usually I go with the 120 rule, but I thought I'd decide to back my gut with Noah Anderson at C against Richmond. And he only got 105. It didn't even look like he was going to scrape 100 at one stage there, Paddo. He was just, like, not doing much. And then all of a sudden, his last quarter was mammoth. So, yeah. Unfortunately, that kind of sucked. Didn't make up too much. I think it was only 15 points or whatever. But Paddo likes to point it out because it meant that I would have beaten him. But I didn't care because I was looking at another league that I wanted to try and win that game and didn't end up winning that one either. So Jack Sinclair's shit score is 70. I didn't have a single player above 100 in defense. I had Sheezel's 86, Jordan Clark's 94, Riley by 79, shit like that. My midfield carried. I had Brayshaw 120, Anderson 105, Neil 113, Finn Callahan finally bounced back 116, Paddo. Even Levi Ashcroft in there 89, which I loopholed off the bench. Oliver 91, De Koning 100, Maxi Gorn 117. Then my forward line kind of let me down too. Rankin 86, McRae 104 was all right. Bailey Smith 80. He decided he didn't want to play the last quarter. Marek 91. To Caleb Daniel 88. Can't be too disappointed, but at the same time can. Because you got these gun guys and you want them to fire and they're just not firing. But I kept Davidson. He got an 82, Paddo. But it's looking pretty bleak at the moment for my team. I decided, Paddo, that I didn't want to trade last round. I burned through trades early. So I didn't want to trade. I slept on it. It kind of paid off with Davidson. Otherwise, I would have traded him. Now he's got an 82 and he's reset his break even down to 37. So that's all good. But now, like, you're looking at other guys and it's upgrade season, as you said. So we'll start going into the injuries and suspensions, Paddo. First one, big one, big one, Sam Darcy. So it's not an ACL, thank God, because we didn't want the unicorn to be out for 12 months, but he still needs surgery on his knee.
Yeah, still not looking good, still looking at months, but he could still possibly return this year. Sucks, because there were people that brought him in. I know a few years ago, winner Jay Peterson actually had him and has to obviously trade him out, which is unfortunate. More of a footy one, though. This guy is a superstar of the game, so hopefully he can bounce back and not have a career plagued by injuries where we'll forever say, imagine if he didn't do that knee in his second year of footy and what he could have been. So hopefully he can bounce back.
Yep. Noah Balter has curfew for night games for 3 months, Paddo.
Yeah, there's only a few night games in that time. I don't know how. See, it's a shame because I didn't see enough of it on the weekend to know how it might affect Luke Traynor. But since I did this run sheet, Dano, it's been announced that Campbell Gray is debuting. And he is also a medium-sized kind of intercept defender. So we'll see. Personally, I am trading out Luke Traynor. Being the first game of the week, you could probably loophole him and sort of see how he goes. He's already been confirmed to not be the sub, but with them bringing in another defender of his sort of skill set and the way that Nick Floston played last weekend, Dano, in a massive win against the Suns, I don't know about Luke Traynor. So I think it's time to jump off. I know he can reset his break even, but I'm just not sure whether he's going to be made to be
made his money,
play a little bit more accountable. I don't know whether Ben Miller turned into that forward slash backup ruck role, and that's why Campbell Gray is coming in. Obviously, actually, no, we know the team sheets, don't we?
Yeah, the team's out, mate. Team's out.
Yeah,
but so, as we know, team sheets don't mean much anyway.
Yeah, true. Campbell Gray is named on the bench, which is very helpful. But I'm not sure who plays the backup ruck. Miller is the one that stands out. Jonty's not quite big enough. Tom Lynch moves like a B triple, not a B double, B triple. So it's got to be Miller, I think. So we'll see.
Yeah. Sam Draper, Paddo. I don't know how long he's out for, but Essendon have no rucks other than Todd Goldstein. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes this relevant. I mean, people were looking at Sam Draper. He is a forward ruck DPP, and he was hitting some good form. But if anyone that saw that, it looks like he snapped his Achilles. So he's listed as TBC on the injury report. This could be a 12-month injury, so I'm pretty confident in saying he'll miss the rest of the year. Goldstein, strangely enough, could turn into an option. Obviously, don't trade him into him now, but he's 377K. So he could be a really interesting flex option, possibly. But there's someone else that everyone should be having in their flex spot, which we'll talk about soon enough.
Can I just say, Todd Goldstein turns 37 on July 1st.
It's pretty crazy, but they don't have any other rucks on their list.
I know.
They've got Vincentini playing in the VFL, but he can't play. So they're in a bit of strife there. Actually, no, Vicentini is on their list. And they've got a guy named Kale Gare Ryan, whoever that is. Yeah, so anyway. There you go. they do have a couple more rucks to go through. See who they name.
Vicentini might come in to play. Never know. Anyway, we'll look at rookies. We're going to discuss some trade-in rookies, but also discuss like whether, you know, they might actually not be so secure in their jobs. And then ones we like, blah, blah, blah. So rookies to start with, Matt Carroll, the most popular traded in one this week, 99K defender, 62 average, minus 65 break even. I have heard, Paddo, that if Cowan is listed to play this week, that Carroll won't get picked.
Yeah, I'm worried about this. Really worried. So when I did this run sheet, I mean, last week, Cowan was down to like as a 3 to 4 week hamstring. So logic says he came in for Cowan, and Carroll probably has a month of money making. And even after that, it's fine. He can be your D8 and if anything, be a bit of a loophole option for you. But now I'm a bit concerned. The 99K price tag is really nice. But yeah, job security is a concern. So keep an eye on team sheets for this one.
Now, I'm going to just interject the guy that I spoke about that's not on the run sheet, Paddo, just in this bit here, because it's like defender run. Sardell Hawley, I really want to talk about just quickly, and you have some points as well as me having some points and blah, 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 blah. So he's currently had one price hike of 7.1K. So he's averaging 29. Last round, he only got a 4. But he's listed at 127K defender mid status. I just want to talk about him because he reminds me of, was it Dylan Williams like 2 seasons ago? When
Port Adelaide, last year, wasn't it?
Was it last year?
I think it was last year.
Anyway, Dylan Williams came onto the scene, rookie priced, played like 3 or 4 games or whatever as sub, then had a couple of price rises, then Port play him full games and he was getting like 80s. And we're all like, why the fuck did they do this? Why couldn't they just play him from the start? Because we all, like a lot of us had him in our starting sides and then his name sub, we're like, nah, fuck ya. Yeah, so I'm getting Dylan Williams vibes about this and it's just a real gut feel about it, Paddo. Now, you've got some points about someone else playing off half-back now and you don't think that Sardell Hawley will play full games, whereas I'm thinking they've got to fucking try something and he's a Jet.
Yeah, so the Dylan Williams one was a little bit different because he had 2 games where he did play and he was on the bubble with a fairly low break-even, but then he was named as a sub and then people didn't jump on him because he was the sub. And was he a late in or he might have been 1 week as a sub and then the following week had a full game and started popping out like 70 to 80s. Yeah. And he was the one that got away. I'm concerned with Sardell Hawley just because he's now been the sub 3 times in a row and I know fitness staff will not like that at all. And I know they do the extra blocks and you see that really sad crew that are out on the ground afterwards, like the crowd's all fucked off and the lights are off, but they're basically going through fitness stuff to try and replicate a game. So there's going to be pressure from the fitness staff for Sardell Hawley to play a full game. I feel like that comes at VFL level, and that is only because the last 2 weeks we've seen a shift in Nick Martin, which I'm fucking filthy about. As someone that traded him out after 3 weeks of a half forward role where he wasn't getting the ball as much. So then they had their bye and then he's come back and played a bit more half back, which is fucking, I'm not happy about. And obviously they've still got their normal crew down there. They've got Redmond, they've got McGrath and all that sort of stuff. So I don't think there's a role for Al Hawley unless he plays on a wing. I couldn't even tell you who's playing on the wing for Essendon at the moment. I honestly couldn't care less either. But I feel like obviously we'll know tomorrow night from time of recording, so probably tonight by the time you're listening to this, about whether or not he is named. I'm just concerned that he gets dropped to the VFL. Could just be for 1 week. And then we can reassess once he comes back in. He's also got a break even of 4. So even if he does play a full game somehow, you could probably afford to wait one more week. He might go up 20 or 30K, but you might just want to wait and see the role. Because if he plays a full game, but it's on the wing, that's not very good for Supercoach. But if he plays a full game and it's off halfback, he could score 80 to 90. That's how good he is. It's just a stack position at Essendon. That's my concern.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see. And honestly, it's not that great because it says Dylan Scheel and Will Setterfield both played wing, which we know Setterfield doesn't play wing. He's in the guts.
And Scheel's been playing guts as well. So
yeah, that
was weird.
Yeah.
Dersma's a winger, and they've got Hobbs. Who else do they even have? fucking who cares?
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Elijah Hewitt, 188K, forward mid, 57 average, minus 8 break-even. Absolutely incredible second half last week when he moved into the midfield. Yeah, he's fucking... This is what we were waiting for from the start with him. Just calf injuries and whatnot have been getting in the way. So if you held, good on you. 188K, though, Pato, if you don't have Hewitt, would you bring him in?
Look, I don't want to sound like the guy that's always like, oh, yeah, this is what I said. But this is the reason why I held on to Elijah Hewitt. The guy's a fucking gun. He just needed the role. He needed the opportunity. And for the first half, he was on about 20-odd at halftime. And I thought, fuck's sake, I've held this peanut. And McWalter hasn't come to the party and I'm going to get 40 out of him like I got out of fucking Moraes and I'm just filthy. But that second half was incredible, Dano. He was their best player. And I know he didn't score the highest in terms of Supercoach. That's not always the indication. But he had a 75 or so second half, Dano, playing pure midfield. Kicked two goals, just breaking out of centre. He looked like prime Chris Judd, which is, you wouldn't say that just about anyone. There's no way in hell this guy can get dropped. There's no way in hell this guy can play anywhere but the midfield this week unless he pulls up sore. And that is the concern. I'm kind of lucky. I've got a little bit of a West Coast rotary on my bench of midfielders. So I brought in Gross. I brought in... who's the other one? Hall. So whichever one gets named in the guts, I can pretty much fucking play on field and just take the score. It feels like they're trying to find the right mix. West Coast were down pretty big at halftime of this game, Dano, and they came back and almost pinched it against the Bombers with Hewitt in the midfield. So surely, as long as he pulled up fine with that calf issue or calf issues, he's part of that midfield group. And I think that makes him a pretty high priority trade-in. There's probably a teammate of his that I think may be a bigger priority. But it's sort of 1A, 1B situation if I didn't own either of them.
I know who you mean.
But he's not rookie price, so that's why we're going to talk about him later.
Yep. Corey Durden, you've got down 208K forward, 95 average, minus 66 break-even. I am going to say don't trade him in. The reason being, played West Coast and North, This is screaming Bailey Humphrey.
Yeah, I mean, he's a small forward.
And then just drops off.
Yeah, he's a small forward for Carlton who's averaged 95 in two games against West Coast and North Melbourne. So he's an option. His teammate probably should be on this list as well, who's a bit cheaper in Will White. He's probably a better option. I overlooked that. Even though he's played three games and already had one price rise. Looks really good. He's
in the 140K range though, isn't he?
Yeah, 144. It's still cheaper than Durden. But again, like, you're worried about the role.
And then you've also got Elijah Sardis and Neil Erasmus, both on the bubble this week, depending on, obviously, if they're named. Sardis, I can't see playing in that midfield, like, in the guts role anymore. I could see him playing wing, and that's where we don't want him.
The problem is...
190-ish K range, and then Neil Erasmus, what the fuck's going on there, so...
The problem is I don't think Sardis can play anywhere else. So they would have to drop Scheel. They would have to move Durham, who I think probably tags Dacos on the weekend.
Yeah.
Or they'd have to drop, who's the other one that I was thinking of? Like Setterfield.
And Setterfield's playing good.
And he tagged on the weekend against Tim Kelly. So it might even be Setterfield on Dacos. But like I don't think the midfield group gets changed. Like if one of those guys go down and Sardis comes in, he's your guy. The other one could be a better option though, Dano.
Neil Erasmus.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still not living up to his hype.
Well, he's played two games, so he's on the bubble this year. O'Meara misses, I think he's down as 1 to 2 months, possibly. Yeah, So that does open up some CBAs for someone. Whether Erasmus comes straight in and gets that or whether they give it to someone that has been playing a different role, like a Matt Johnson, we'll see.
You read.
If they don't want him to go in 3 years, then they need to get him some midfield time. But I agree. But they may bring in Erasmus. He's been doing really well in the waffle and he's kind of the next guy up. But they've also got that other midfielder whose name escapes me. who was a great, who was almost a primo. Yeah, Will Brody.
Yeah, look at Will Brody versus George Hewitt this year. Holy fuck. Because they were both like the 200K guys and they went to different clubs and one of them's become an Uber primo and the other one's just like lost in the waffle.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, keep an eye on team sheets. They are options if you need someone on the bubble.
Yeah. We'll go into the trading season. So we'll start with defender primo trading options, especially fallen ones, Pato. And we'll start with none other than Tom Stewart. Listed at 441K, 73 average, 5% owned, 79 break even. Now, I want you to talk about him because you're the one that's put him on this run sheet and you've literally said, don't worry about his stats. So why should people consider Tom Stewart?
This is purely off legacy. We know how good he is. He is moving on a bit in age, admittedly, and Zach Guthrie does look to be playing better in that kind of role already. I just feel like it's coming. And I know a lot of people started him and are absolutely filthy at having held him this long, dealing with the late out with the runs and these shit sort of tag games. I also understand if you want to see it for at least a week before committing. And it could well come out that he scores 120 this week and then it's next week that we target him and he might have risen 20 or 30K, but that's okay. But the break-even is a nice spot there where you can probably wait a week, still look at him at 450K next week, but he also does have a really great run for defenders in the next month as well. So he plays Carlton this week, Collingwood next week, and the Giants the week after. And then he has Port Adelaide, which is a tougher run. But then even after that, Dogs, Eagles, Suns, Bombers, Lions up until the bye. So it's a nice run.
Yeah. As Pato coughs up along there. Next one we got is Carl Amon, 504K, 106 average, 2.6% owned, so massive POD. 67 break even, has an awesome run in the next three games. Now, his scoring has been fucking sick, Pato. I just want to pull up some of his numbers because I've got him in a draft league and everyone's trying to trade for him. It's fucking funny. So Carl Amon's game so far. So again, they fluctuate a little bit, but we got 100, 122, 106. Then he had two lots of 79 and then the 152 on the weekend. So four of his six games above 100. Two of those above 120.
Worth noting as well, that round three game against the Giants where he scored 79, those conditions were scuffed.
Oh, yeah.
Like impossible game for a player like him. Like even Whitfield scored really poor in that game. So, or was that the game he went big? I can't remember.
No, anyway.
109. So he didn't go massive. But, yeah, and then a bit of attention against his former team in Port Adelaide. And then the massive game against Geelong. But I think if you asked a team to pick their matchups for 3 weeks, in terms of ease of fixture, you would pick the next three teams that Hawthorn have in West Coast, Richmond and Melbourne.
Yeah.
So he could well have a four-round average, including last week against the Cats, of about 140. The problem is he's got Gold Coast after that as well. Don't put attention to anyone. They could have a five-round average of about 150 in this run. The problem is he's an inconsistent scorer historically. He's moving on a bit in age. And
29, isn't he?
I don't think he's a keeper.
Yeah, okay. He's only 29 though, yeah?
I couldn't tell you. It just feels like he's been around a long time.
I feel like he's 29, which is younger than Jack Sinclair. Hang on. Carl Amon age. Let's go. It is 29. He's turning 30 in August.
There you go. Okay. Not that old.
Yeah. My favourite on the list, Pato, is up next. Nick Martin, 532K, 101 average, 4% owned, 62 break even. Ah, Pato, you even did the Dane rule of give it three games and then trade. And
yeah, I gave him 3 weeks to hope that the halfback role came. and then his bye came, and I saw it as an opportunity to jump. And admittedly, I jumped on Rao for Martin, so
yeah.
I think trade actually worked out fine.
Yeah, that's
because Rao has been really good, but it's the trades. They're the sort of trades that come back to bite you.
Yeah.
And I think it was I hope I didn't get this wrong, but I think it was Lloydy on X actually pointed out that I did the same thing last year with Nick Martin. I had him for 2 weeks, traded him out because I didn't like it, and then he came good and I was spewing. And I've been so big on not trading out primos this year, to the point where I'm actually calling people out on it. And there you go. I trade out Nick Martin. I still don't think he's top six. Again, he's had Melbourne and West Coast in the last 2 weeks, and unfortunately, he can't play against them every week. He's got Collingwood this week, which is a tough matchup, but they're also a good matchup if he's going to play that halfback role, and then North. But then it gets a bit harder after that with Sydney and Western Bulldogs. So I think we'll get found out next month. He's a nice price, but I just want people to remember one thing, Dano, and that is that Dane Zorka and Jack Sinclair have really high break-evens. And also, Callum Mills and Keaty Coleman are back very soon, like within the next week or two, and they are both priced really, really low. I should fact-check myself, but we could have a choice of these two at a really discount price.
I don't think so.
So Keaty Coleman is 269K. I don't think he is a proper D6, but Callum Mills at 357K, if he's playing in the midfield, he is proper D6 material, maybe even higher than D6 because of, like, he's been a 650K guy before in that midfield role, because you had him that year, Dano, from round one. I remember that. So I think if you've already got five primos, I think you should be holding out to at least see Callum Mills. And if you don't like what you see, you can jump on a Zorko and or Jack Sinclair once their prices come down. So I think just don't jump in an Amon or a Martin where there's still question marks. I don't think, like, they're fine options. I just feel like they don't end up being the top six, even though they are good value. I think Stewart is different because he's such good value and we know what he can do. And I feel like last year went kind of similar with Stewart, where he started off, had an early injury, and I think he even had a suspension or two at the start of last year, but then, like, stormed home and was really, really good on the back end of the year, and that could well happen again this year.
Just going to make a point on Jack Sinclair. His break-even's 180, but he's also up against Brisbane at Marvel Stadium next, who he averages the most against. His last three have been 142, 135, 133. So he won't meet the 180, but he'll probably... I'm going to say if he tracks the same again, his break-even's going to reset, and he'll drop below 600K. And then his next round is against Freo, who he scores historically pretty decent against too, usually in the 100s, but low 100s.
Freo have been giving up big scores to defenders as well this year.
And they're both at Marvel.
And then Carlton, West Coast, Gold Coast, Melbourne.
So keep an eye on Jack Sinclair.
You've just got Nasiah Wanganeen-Mailoa, who is taking a lot of footy as well. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Midfield time. Nick Dacos, 608K, 115 average, 39% owned, which is higher than I thought. 54 break even. Got the big 172. So I personally left him for a week, Paddo. I'll see how he goes. Big mistake. Yeah, shit times. So I don't know whether I'm going to bring him in or not myself, or for someone a little bit cheaper that's a bit further down. So what are your thoughts? I don't think you can really go wrong with Nick Dacos. He probably will get cop the tag this week, though. But he did go well against the tag, like, recently, so...
Yeah, he had 134 against James Jordan, which is one of the harder tags in the comp.
Yeah.
And then was nuts against Brisbane. So... it could be now or never with Dacos. I do agree. I think he gets a tag in the next 2 weeks. So that's the only sort of red flag there. But with such a low break even, if he even gets 100 against Essendon and 100 against Geelong, which is low for him and what he can do, like, he could be at the 620, 630K mark when really getting him in is going to really affect your upgrading. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that after we talk about midfield trade-ins for a very particular reason. So I am looking at Nick Dacos this week. I think I'm going to bring him in. we know how good he can be. I mean, we saw it with the 172 against Brisbane. He's a proper VC slash C option, provided the matchup. And I just think you need him in. 608K seems like a lot, but this is a guy that could get to 650, 660, 680 and just out of reach. So it could be now or never, in my opinion. Maybe next week, but yeah, you got to get him in soon.
Yep. Zach Merritt, 601K, 114 average, 12% owned, 126 break even. So just seems to be plodding along, Pato. Didn't get that forward status like people were hoping. But yeah, look, he does this every year. He's just that 600, low 600K range guy. He'll probably have a dip here and there. You'll get him at 550K at some point.
I'm not so sure, Dano. And I think if you have a really low rank and you need to sort of aggressively target someone to get you back up, a lot of people are zigging to Dacos. You could zag to Merritt and could look like an absolute genius. So he's got Collingwood this week, who has a really good record against. He's got North Melbourne next week. He may get a little bit of attention there, but let's be honest, it's North Melbourne, so it's fine. Then he'll have James Jordan in against Sydney. And then he has the Dogs, Richmond, Brisbane, who are pretty good matchups for midfielders. They don't tag too much. Carlton will be a hard tag. So the run is really nice. Again, if you're looking to stay with the crowd and not get egg on your face by going with Dacos, going against Dacos, then Merritt could be a really good aggressive play. Just keep an eye on your buy as well, because Merritt does have, for me personally, a worse buy than Dacos, and that is the only thing separating the two of them and making me go to Dacos this week. But my original trades on like Monday, Dano, was Merritt in. Yeah, and then right. I looked at my buyers and said, I can't do it.
Well, I haven't looked at my buyers yet, and I'm actually looking at this next guy. Probably won't after I see my buyers. And it's Connor Rosie, 508K, 106 average, 26% owned, 60 break even. He going to get that DPP in round 12? Surely, Pato. Surely. He's halfback flanks his. He even beat a James Jordan tag from playing halfback flank. Like, what more can you like?
Yeah, I agree. I really like it. I think he will get that DPP as well. Current averages in defense, he would be tied seventh for averages if he was a defender, and that is tied with Carl Amon. That is behind Lachie Ash, who Dano surely doesn't keep up this role of run of averaging 112.
Oh, no, he will.
And just behind Max Holmes, who I think is about on par with what Rosie can do. He will get some attention. But halfback, Dano, it's the easiest position to play. Connor Rosie hasn't even trained there, and he's just picked it up naturally. There's some other guys that could move into that role, like Sheasel, Martin, Stewart, Mills. But I really like it. The price is really good, and that's why I think this is really nice. And then North Melbourne this week, which is clearly very good. And then the Dogs, and then Adelaide. So the run isn't too bad.
Jai Newcombe, 549K, 108 average, 3% owned, 87 break even. Loves to score without Will Day in the team. He's got 104 and 134 in two losses without Day. Pato, you've written down, imagine when they start winning. And that winning run is about to happen now.
Yeah, you'd think so. West Coast, Richmond, Melbourne in the next three, as we talked about when we're talking about Carl Amon. Paired with the fact that he does do really, really well with Will Day not in the team, I think it's a really, really good option if you haven't gone gung-ho on your trades, because I don't feel like Jai Newcombe is a keeper, but I think he'll be really, really good up until probably post-bye. So if you can afford to have him for 8 weeks, he might average 125 to 130 in that time. And then you could flick him off to an expensive guy, like a Bontempelli or a Butters. I think I really like that.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. George Hewitt, Pato. He's gone 611K now. 129 average. What is he the highest averaging besides your Butters and your fucking Bontempelli, because their sample size is so small? Is he the highest averaging player?
He is.
129?
In the midfield, he is. So Peter Wright is the second highest averaging from one game.
Exclude him.
Yeah, he is.
3% owned. By the way, our listener, Lachie Ash, not the actual Lachie Ash, but his name is also Lachie Ash, owns George Hewitt.
And
owns Lachie Ash. His team, he showed me his score. I was like, fuck, that is lit. 58 break even. Can we keep ignoring him, Pato? And I know, like, The way I think it is, something's got to give. He's the only consistent scorer, and what a fucking scorer. But, like, your Walshes and your Cripses have to start firing soon, surely.
I would have thought so. Walsh's CBAs are actually down a bit, so he's playing a little bit more outside sort of wing half forward role. This could be a situation, Dano, where it's a bit like, and it was Treloar last year. I think 2 years ago it was Libba. Not picking on Western Bulldogs here, but just those random names that just have a year out of nowhere that just go nuts. And because they're not big names, people don't trade them in until they realize that they're 650K averaging 125. And you're like, they're too expensive now. I can't bring them in. He's gone up 114K, Dano. So he's... clearly provided value that people saw in one of his teammates at the start of the year rather than Hewitt himself in Chera.
That mid-price guy, we're all looking at freaking Callahan's days and shit, and ended up being Hewitt, which no one spoke about.
Yeah, he started at 496K and he had that same run that Chera did. Anyway, we're not talking about Chera. I can see it continuing, Dano. Like, there's no way they can move him out of this midfield. I don't think the 129 keeps up. I think that probably settles a little bit, but he is looking like the man in there.
Yep. Aren't Sydney spewing. The one that got away. We'll move on. Matt Real, 558K, 121 average, Pato, 15% owned, 74 break even. Looks good, but I'm still waiting for a drop-off at some stage. He's got to.
Yeah, so you had that one down game against Adelaide for 74, but the rest have been 130-odd.
I know.
There is a slight red flag in the fact that his scores have been against West Coast, Melbourne, North Melbourne and Richmond.
Yeah.
And the one sort of top eight kind of team was Adelaide and he scored 74. Remember
Anderson was a flat track bully?
Yeah.
And I think now maybe Raul might be the flat track bully.
Yeah, possibly. He'll the next few weeks will either make him or break him. Sydney, Brisbane, Western Bulldogs, which is almost as tough as it gets for midfield opponents, Dano. So, yeah. Maybe he's an avoid. Maybe he shouldn't be on the run sheet.
But he is averaging a fuckload.
Yeah, he is.
So, yeah. We've just put down Butters and Bont. Like, has Butters only played one game as well, or has he played two?
Butters has played three games, and he's gone up 10K from his starting price. He's averaging 135.
Yeah.
Bont's has a break even of 90, so he's going upwards. Do not destroy your team bringing these guys in. You will regret it later because you will need three trades just to get to these guys because of our rookie situation with the sub rule. Like, it's destroying our rookies. So don't fuck up your upgrade cadence. That's the buzzword that goes around the Supercoach community. By bringing these guys in, you will regret it. They will have a down game. Bontempelli might have a down game this week, don't they? Against the Giants.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't have too many game down games, but he will have a game where he doesn't score 160 because he won't be playing St Kilda every week. So ease up on those expectations. Butters is getting a hard tag eventually as well. For some reason, they didn't move Jordan onto him. I don't understand why, because he was really good this game. But Butters has North and Bulldogs in the next two. But there's a hard tag coming. So sometimes you just need that 180-odd score that absolutely balloons up their break even, which in turn obviously lowers their price. And that's when you jump on them. So I cannot condone bringing these guys in unless your team is absolutely perfect. You might be the number one ranked coach and you might have 32 trades and you might be able to get Oliver to Butters. Maybe slightly different situation. I don't think the number one coach is listening to us though, Dana.
Yeah, no. Probably not. Now, we'll go to the Rucks, Pato. Now, I've got a theory this year that before we talk about this next guy. So I'm seeing a bit of a pattern in that when the 200 to 300K guys come in and they've had like a role change or something like that and they spit out a good score or you see their role change, if you jump on them, they make money super fucking quick. So like your Ryan Marrick, I know Humphrey had it for a couple of games and then he's just dropped right off, but he still made like that 100K really fast. And I feel like it could end up being a better play potentially than your rookies, because the rookies seem to get an 80 one week and then they're dropped. So that's why I really want to bring up Matt Flynn. 261K, 114 average from those two games. 9% owned, minus 73 break even. He went 144 or whatever the fuck it was on the weekend, Paddo. Now, you can jump on if he starts spudding and then Bailey Williams comes in and takes over the ruck. He's still going to make money, correct? I honestly, like, I feel like people have traded him out. They felt burned by him. I feel like you've actually got to bring him in, and he's going to make you rapid cash, help out maybe in the flex position. I don't know. We're talking about TDK and with Pittenette coming in. Did Pittenette even play on the weekend, Paddo?
No.
Is he looking likely to play?
Possibly this week.
So I know podcasters will be like, don't trade out primos, but we have been saying that TDK isn't going to be a keeper.
Dano,
Pittenette's out. If Pittenette's back in, you got balls of steel. You could go TDK down to fucking Matt Flynn at R2. Hope like fuck that he holds his spot and he keeps going good. Or get Matt Flynn in at flex. But I really think that this year, these 200 to 300K guys in that little bracket, like your 260s to 280s and whatnot, when they pop, like they're, for some reason, they're the new cash generators. They're the new cash guys.
Yeah, weird, especially when the role is this good.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing in Flynn 100%. I feel like he's must have.
Flynn is in.
I'm toying with two things. First is just bring in Flynn as a flex and he becomes my 22nd guy and replaces my lowest score. I have found a way, Dano, that I can turn Tom DeConing, Luke Traynor, and Zach Reed into Nick Dacos, Matt Flynn, and Christian Petrarca.
Interesting.
And obviously it's risky, but I'm turning one primo that kind of had a star next to his name because he wasn't a proper primo because we knew Pittenette was a problem into three guys that, I mean, Flynn may not be a keeper and it is a little bit risky bringing him in at R2. And I guess that's why you've got your flexes to fix it if you need to. Plus you've got the flex position where you can carry a donut in your ruck line if Flynn misses for whatever reason because you've got your flex to come in.
Yeah.
And Petrarca, I mean, we're going to talk about Petrarca, so I won't go too much into that. But I am seriously considering this. It leaves me $4,700 to play with, which is clearly not much. And it means I'm holding on to O'Sullivan. It means I'm holding on to Moraes, which I don't want to do. But it's the only way I can get to Dacos and Petrarca in with Flynn as well, which I think is what I'm going to do, Dano.
Now, listeners, you cannot see the big fucking grin I have on my face right now because I wish I could find the episode from a couple of seasons ago or whatever it was where I traded in Kieran Briggs at 300K once he became the number one ruck at the Giants. And Paddo said, you don't trade out a primo ruck for a fucking guy that's unproven. And then Briggs went on this hundreds run. Made a fuck ton. Like, he was awesome. So it makes me smile because fuck you, Paddo, you're now doing it. But at the same time, Flynn could be the new Briggs.
I mean, is Flynn really considered, like, unproven? Like, he, in 2023, he averaged 88.
He's unproven to be, like, a main ruck. Like, a lot of guys that step in and fill in can go 60s to 80s. So
I'm not looking at this as a keeper. If he turned into a keeper, that's great. This would be a stepping stone.
See, I actually think that he could end up being in those top... It wouldn't be a top two or three ruck, but he could end up potentially... And this is a bloke, by the way, when he was playing and he was dual rucking. So he was sharing it with... What's that fucker's name that the Giants delisted?
Briggs.
Pruce. No, Pruce. Oh,
yeah.
Briggs is still on the list. What the fuck? No, Pruce. So when Pruce and Flynn were dual rucking, around the ground, the number two ruckman tap... The number two tap ruckman around the ground in the AFL was Matt Flynn at the time. So he can translate that across and then get those disposals, which he's playing for fucking West Coast, he could end up being a viable option. He could, like, go, like, who knows, into Witt's territory at some stage. You just don't know. He just needs the consistency. And once he gets that consistency, then you'll get the Flynn sanity coming back.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he gets around the ground. He contributes around the ground. So in round one, I thought he was so stiff to get dropped because he scored 87 against Jared Witt's. Only had 13 hit outs, but still had 13 touches and 87 Supercoach points. Like, he was still good. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, but he only rucked against Peter Wright. And the other guy that they put in the ruck, Fessenden. But Draper played three quarters. And Flynn had 141. So I feel like he can go 90 to 95. And I think that's enough. At 261K, someone that will make money. And if he gets dropped, hopefully it's in a month at least where he's 450K and I can flick him on to, you know, a ruck that I like, because I don't think Gawn looks good. I think he's past it and they're not good either. I don't even know who else you're going for, Dano. Obviously, we're going to talk about the main guy in that ruck line who I think should be in every team. But
can I just say one thing?
Mm-hmm.
We do sound fucking nuts because Tom DeConey has not dropped below 100 and we're considering trading him out.
It's crazy. But these are the sort of things that help. Like, if you hold him a week with Pitnett in the team and he drops a 60 and you've jumped on Matt Flynn, who might drop, I mean, he's got a tough matchup this week. He plays Hawthorn. But if he drops a 110, you're 50 points up already.
Yeah.
And you've got the 300-odd K, which I've used to get Christian Petrarca, who could well score 150 tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And you look like a genius. The other thing, Matt Flynn is the very last game of the round. He could be a laid out and you've got to scramble to bring in Bailey fucking Williams. and then you're in strife. But I can't see it happening.
Yeah.
I think this is too good to be true. Hopefully it's not too good to be true.
Fair. We'll go to the next one. Tristan Cherry, 557K, 111 average, 51% owned, 101 break even. Now, this is the thing. I've got Max Gawn. So you've said if you have faded Cherry, now is a good time to bring him in. Do I bring him in or do I bring in Flynn or?
Not for Gawn. I think for you, if you have Gawn, I wouldn't be trading Gawn. I would be bringing in Flynn as a flex and possibly Cherry for DeConing, especially if Pitman is named.
I would honestly rather just go DeConing down to Flynn myself.
Yeah, I just think Cherry is such a good price. He's dropped 89K in value. Could go big against Jordan Sweet this week. He's back training from that hamstring niggle as well for the first time in a few weeks. I think he's back. I think this is Cherry season.
Cherry picking.
Yeah, 8 months early, but it's Cherry season.
All right, forward line, Christian Petrarca, 481K, 90 average, 9% owned, 95 break-even. So, Pato, he hasn't actually cracked 100 yet, but... yeah, but
ask me again in 24 hours. He'll almost be on 100 already, and the game would have only just started.
Richmond and West Coast in the next two.
Yeah.
But we need to think beyond that, Pato, beyond just two rounds. Who does he have after Richmond and West Coast?
So, Hawthorn, who he scored 146 against in round two last year. Then he's got Brisbane, Sydney. That's pretty tough. But then St Kilda, Collingwood, Port Adelaide. Then the round 15 bye. And the run after the bye is pretty good as well.
Do you think that maybe it's going to be a confidence-building thing with Petrarca in that he smashes Richmond and then smashes West Coast and then he's like, right, he's back? And then it's just a mindset thing with him?
The CBAs are back up. And people forget he missed a lot of footy last year.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't really be playing, really.
Probably not. So he's had 6 weeks now to build up what he needs to build up. He's on the up, I think. And I just think this is the right time to jump on. If he was a mid only, I probably wouldn't be jumping on yet. I'd want to see it first. But in your forward line, like if I bring him in, my forward line's done.
Yeah.
Like Caleb Daniel is my F6 right now with Petrarca in my team.
Yeah, nice.
To the point where I can't even field Sam Lawler. He's my emergency.
Yeah, right.
Like I'm loopholing Sam Lawler.
Yep, there.
I might not even be able to get him in. But anyway, that's another issue. Hopefully he doesn't go big tomorrow night. But I think, 481K for a guy of his ability and history. Like, he had averaged 103 last year. Obviously, that was with the halftime subbing in that Collingwood game and whatnot. Year before that, he went at 119, and that's his ceiling. Yeah, but this is a guy that can pump 150s on his day.
Yeah, that's a very good point too. So, up forward looks great. Great pick. I like it. Let's see him fucking go on a run. Yeah, Pato, we got question time. I did not actually send out questions, so I'm hoping you did.
Yeah, I did. I just want to add, Dano, another one that is back in the next week or two is Mateus Philippou. He's a bit cut price as well. He was in a lot of teams before he got injured in preseason, 313K. if you're like me and you've completed your team, he might just end up being a flex guy, and a really well-priced flex guy. Obviously, wait for him to be back, have a look for a couple of weeks, make sure the CBA role is there. But he was red hot in teams before the injury. So, yeah, he's back soon.
Yep, sweet. So we'll go to question time now. So on Twitter, we've only got the one, which is Josh, and he said, already getting Carroll and Flynn, is it worth getting Rosie with my fifth boost? Now, I'm saying don't get Carroll. Like, I'm actually going to say now, the more that I think about it, the more I think the Cowan's just going to get named anyway, and then Carroll's going to get dropped. He's still got...
You on Facebook or X? I wasn't listening.
X, Twitter. Twitter, for me, Twitter. Yeah, that one. So he's gone Reed, Trainer, Humphrey out, Carroll, Rosie, Flynn in with his final boost. So he's been a trade fiend.
I don't know if I would use my final boost on that. I would hold on to one of Reed or Trainer, and it's probably Trainer. Get Reed out, get Humphrey out, get Flynn in for sure, and then you probably can't afford much, so you might have to go down to a rookie and just spend it next week.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Carroll. That's probably not super helpful.
Alrighty. So we'll go to the Facebook ones now, which, again, not many, if any. Not many, if any. So Jason, to start with, Matt Flynn, yes or no? And out of Hewitt and Whitfield, yeah, we already established yes. And out of Hewitt and Whitfield, who are you picking, all things considered, price runs, etc.? So Hewitt and Whitfield.
I think it's Whitfield.
Yep, fair. Also, what to do with Cripps? Is it too late and just have to hold and hope for a turnaround? I think it's going to have to be a hold.
I'm the same. I've got Cripps. I hate it. He's averaging 94, which sucks. He's down with Oliver in that midfield of mine that just not performing how I was hoping they would. But that's luxury trade territory, either through the buys or after you've upgraded the rest of your team, because at the end of the day, I'd rather Patrick Cripps on field knowing what he can do than Xavier Lindsay on field getting 50s. So the priority is to get those rookies off first, and then we can worry about Patrick Cripps, Clayton Oliver, Jaden Short, those sorts.
Okay, James has asked, taggers, question mark. Okay, who's going to do the tagging this week? Let's have a look. Pato, so Thursday night, Melbourne, Richmond.
Matt, I mean, they'll probably try and tag someone. Richmond have been tagging the inside guys, so really hope it's not Oliver, but I also hope it's not Petrarca, because I'll probably have both of them this week.
It's going to fucking be one of them.
Yeah, but the tag hasn't been that effective, so we're not concerned about that. I think Essendon will send someone to Dacos for sure.
Yeah, to Merritt, maybe Perryman.
Yeah, I think St Kilda probably target Neil again. Sorry for Neil owners out there.
Fuck.
Another tag coming.
What about Freo Adelaide?
I don't think that's... I mean, Adelaide have done a little bit of tagging, so maybe Sarong gets targeted again.
Yeah, fuck yeah. North Port...
We're not concerned about that, surely.
North tagging.
Actually, Will Phillips could come in for Tom Powell and could go straight to Butters.
I reckon they'll go Rosie again.
I don't. Nah, you couldn't play. Or you couldn't bring Will Phillips in to play forward.
The horny one.
Oh, true. It is North. Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Just realise that then. He has been playing a lot better now that Rosie's not in the midfield.
Who do the Giants send Bedford to?
To be honest, I kind of hope they drop him, because he has not been doing good.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's been a massive call out from the fans for Bedford to not play, because he's getting like 4 or 5 touches a game, and his influence on tagging in recent weeks hasn't been the greatest.
Yeah, right.
So... yeah, they might not even run a tag. Suns, Sydney, James Jordan, go to Real, you reckon?
No, I think he'll go to Anderson.
Fuck off. Geelong, Carlton.
I don't know if either team will bother.
Oh, Hewitt, doesn't Hewitt actually play like
he does, role? Yeah.
He's just so fucking good at it.
Yeah, I mean, he did that at Sydney as well. He was a run with guy that got his own footy. So they could send him to Holmes.
Oh, yeah, true. Or Smith, maybe. Or Smith to outside.
He's playing a bit more wing, so probably not.
Yeah. Hawthorn, West Coast, don't even bother.
Yeah, West Coast might try and tag someone, but the key word there is try.
Yep. James also said, what's with Flynn?
He is a must trade in.
Oh, poet didn't know it. Lloydy says, okay, Lloydy's given us a fucking paragraph. So, Lloydy says, I'm currently running three rookies on field in defence in Bias, Reed, and Pryor. My current trades this week are Finn O'Sullivan, Max Hall, and Trainer out, bringing in Flynn, Carroll on the bench in defence, and Zach Merritt. Although I love this trade, it only leaves me with a 6K in the bank. Should I instead grab a fallen primo on Tom Stewart to shore up my defence and save some money for future upgrades? He'll also send his team in DMs after trades this week for us to consider. So
I did have a look at that before. Liam's also sent us a DM.
Oh, cool.
So we'll get to that. And I think he said that he's hoping he's not too late. So you're not too late. You're right on time. I think I like the Merritt trade-in over Stewart. He's already got Dacos, so that would leave him Dacos, Merritt, and Brayshaw and Rao in the midfield with Chera, Petrarca, Oliver, and Ashcroft as well.
Yeah, right.
So I really like that.
All right. That was easy.
You're a bit light on in defense. I think you can target Stewart next week potentially and hope Pryor or Reed get up just enough that you can down someone else and then upgrade one of them to Tom Stewart.
Didn't you just say you'd rather though have keep Trainer and trade out Reed earlier in the potty?
I'm trading out both.
Yeah, but of the two.
If it was of the two, yeah.
I mean,
it depends because whoever he's trading out this week, he's probably trading out the other one next week because Pryor's going to have that 92 in his rolling average.
Okay, so Trainer's got a 70.
So Trainer with the higher break even, I think he can go this week.
Yeah, Zach Reed.
And then Reed next week because Reed had a 90-odd last week, didn't he, or 100?
90-something.
Yeah, so that stays in his rolling average. So
104.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Reed has a break even of about 30 or 14. Yeah. So he's going to go up more. So if it's one of the two, I'm trading out Trainer this week, Reed next week.
Yep. Fair. All righty. And what was Liam's question in the inbox?
He said, I missed messaging the page for the pod, but what do you think of these trades? So he is trading out Carroll. Whoa.
Trading in, you mean?
Oh, sorry. Trading out Sid Draper, Isaac Kakko, and Xavier Lindsay for Matt Carroll, Riley Sanders, and Matt Flynn.
Oh, he's got bringing in Sanders.
Don't know if I love Sanders. It feels like that feels a bit reactionary based off that one score because really he hasn't shown much else. Apart from that,
I think last week he went so the
84, 76, okay. 88. I'm working backwards. It's not enough for me.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think I would use a boost to bring in Sanders. That's what essentially he's doing. I Why like Flynn. Sorry.
Why get rid of Lindsay? He could pop off again at any moment.
Yeah, he does look proppy though. He doesn't look good, and he's coming off a 5-day break. So
14 break even.
That wouldn't even shock me if he's a sub tomorrow night, Dano.
But he's also a 14 break even.
Yeah, I wouldn't be trading out Lindsay for Sanders because that's effectively what he's doing with his flex. So
with like the lack of rookies.
Yeah, so I'd go Draper and Kakko to Flynn and Carroll. I like that if you can afford it.
Yeah, cool. What do people do, Pato, with the rookie crisis at the moment? Because, like, for instance, I've got Connor Stone just sitting there getting 40s. Still got a break even at 25. He's gone up 55K.
He might get to 200K eventually.
Slowest of slow burns. I've still got Ben Payton. He's been a good loop guy. Clay Hall just sitting there on 187K. Harry Boyd never really took off. Fucking Henderson. I've got Henderson as well. Again,
I feel like there's rookies coming.
Good loop option for the moment.
Hugh Boxall had a massive game on the weekend. Bo Allen was pretty good in the waffle. Josh Smiley's not too far away. Husthwaite could come in for Connor Nash, who could get deported. That's how big his hit was. But no, he doesn't play for Richmond, so he won't get too much backlash over it. So, I feel like there's rookies coming.
Fucking hell.
Can we pause for 2 minutes, please?
We'll be right back after Pato goes takes a piss in a shit. Well, after Paddo's massive dump at the toilet, we're not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys, except for last week, every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. Well, technically we did give them VCC options last week, Paddo. We did it on Facebook. Let's start with Thursday night's game, which is Melbourne versus Richmond. And Paddo, I'm assuming you're going to say that Petrarca is potentially a VC option.
I want to just say that my daughter was going down. I was just saying goodnight. So that's actually where I was going. I wasn't taking a fat shit this time, but yeah, absolutely. Petrarca is my VC for now, unless I'm toying with another idea, which I'll share when it gets to it. But yeah, Petrarca, I think, is a really nice VC. I'm pretty confident in my backup C option as well. So I feel like I can take a bit of a risk in my VC.
Paddo, question. Has Richmond been conceding to halfbacks at all?
Yeah, always.
Jake Bowie, I feel like... And I know it's the weirdest fucking person that I've plucked out of nowhere. He's in 3.8% of teams, and I just want to get it on the potty. If it doesn't pop off, who gives a shit? But if he fucking pops off, I called it.
Yeah, but for everyone that's listening, no one owns Jake Bowie, so sure.
Now, there's another bloke that has started playing well, Paddo, in 0.7% of teams. I'm going lower.
Let's suggest people that the people actually own.
Okay. Well, I was going to say Tim Taranto, but...
Fucking hell. He was fucking good on the weekend, don't
he? I fucking know.
Him and Hopper finally played a good game together for the first time in their Richmond careers, like in the same game.
Yeah, and can I just say, this is Taranto's last four, and he's slowly built. So he's got 94, 97, 101, and then the big 146 against the Suns.
He might make a run sheet soon, don't he?
I think this is the time for him to make the run sheet, Paddo, because his break-even's at 50.
So 501K, break-even of 50. with an average of 96, three-round average of 115 in 1% of teams. Tim Taranto, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. His next five games are Melbourne, Hawthorn, West Coast, North and Essendon.
At the MCG, mind you.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, all of them at the MCG. Fuck, are you sure Scott Pendlebury's not playing for him?
No. Richmond actually have to travel down the highway to Geelong this year, which Pendlebury has never had to do. So, and he's been playing for 84 years. So let's just ease up on that.
Yeah, okay. Next game, Friday. We've got two Friday games on Anzac Day. The main one, which is Collingwood versus Essendon. What are we going with? Nick Dacos, Zach Merritt?
I actually prefer Merritt to Dacos, which is weird because I'm bringing in Dacos over Merritt. But Collingwood won't bother with a tag, and I think Essendon will try something on Dacos. For a VC, though, I think Dacos is a fine option because you never know. He might pop. Essendon might just decide to go head-to-head and put, like, a Merritt on him and make it a bit of a battle of the rucks. So I don't know why Essendon would do that because they're going to have fucking the skeleton of Todd Goldstein going up against Darcy Cameron. So don't know why you would do that, but I'm not an AFL coach. But I like both of those. I don't mind Nick Martin as well, especially if he plays halfback. So if you're watching the coverage and it might be a case where you see who he walks out with, and if he's walking out with Reed and Pryor and Mackay, if he doesn't get dropped because he's terrible, then maybe you chuck a cheeky VC on Martin in a halfback role. I think I really like that. As a POD, though, Dano, and not quite an obscure POD for you, but if there are any Darcy Cameron owners, I don't mind a VC in this game.
Fair. No, fair enough. I'm trying to work out. Sorry about this. Here we go. It's just loading. So what round are they up to in the fucking VFL? Because I just want to quickly point out, we were talking about like Essendon and shit like that. There's a young Hayes in Essendon's VFL has just absolutely been a little slut. And the reason why I brought him up is you mentioned Ben Mackay being shit. Should they just fucking put Hayes in for Ben Mackay?
They're paying Mackay $1.4 million. There's no chance that's happening.
Yeah, but just because you're getting paid that money doesn't mean you deserve to be in that fucking team.
True, they did drop Dylan Shiel last year.
But yeah, Hayes, honestly, is one that they should consider bringing up. But anyway.
Hopefully once Jackson Pryor has maxed out in price so we can just do a nice little downgrade there.
Bring him in this round. Yeah, fuck yeah. Bring him in this round. Who gives a shit? Let's fuck everyone up. Then we got Friday night, Freo versus Adelaide.
Not sure I like anyone in this game.
Brayshaw's been going good.
Yeah, he's in good form, but I worry that Adelaide will put someone on one of the Freo mids.
They'll do fucking Sarong.
Sarong, you reckon? Sarong.
Yeah, everyone does Sarong. He's the most damaging out of the two.
Yeah, so Brayshaw could be a cheeky VC if you have him. As long as you take him if he scores 120, don't I?
It was worth a fucking risk. Shut the fuck up. Mind you, Brayshaw's 642K right now.
Oh, yeah, he's nuts. He's out of reach. Yeah. 105 break even as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad I jumped on when I did, but anyway.
So his last three against Adelaide have been 97, 114, 127.
Yeah.
So that valid. Yeah, that's all I'd really go with. Saturday, St Kilda versus Brisbane. Now, I said it before, Jack Sinclair at Marvel and even against Brisbane, who he averages the most against, he's gone 142, 135, and 133 in his last three against Brisbane.
Yeah, don't hate it. It might depend on how close you think St Kilda can get, because they're looking pretty putrid at the moment. I don't mind Zorko as a VC in this one. Dano, he was my original thought, but I just think a couple of weeks of a bit down on form, I don't know if I can trust it. But I think he could do well. So if you want to take a little bit of a risk there, it could be worth it.
Yeah, Neil's history against Saints is a bit up and down, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like they do tag Neil. So one of the other Brisbane mids will probably pop off.
And oh, it's here we go. Gonna fun fact. One,
it's going to be the fact. One that no one has, Hugh McCluggage.
So the team that Lockie Neal averages the least against across his whole career has been St Kilda.
Yeah, well, there's that Ross Lyon connection, isn't there, with all of that. Will Ashcroft is a bit of a flat track bully, so he could go nuts, but you wouldn't VC him if you have him.
How's McCluggage?
Nothing to write home about, so I think we can move on with this one.
No, so... because people do have McCluggage. He's 622K. And fun fact, McCluggage in his last two, 115, 161 in 2024. So wouldn't write him out. Cheeky VC option there. Port Adelaide versus North. Got to be Connor Rosie.
Possibly. I like Cherry in this one, though.
Sweet cherry.
Yeah, it's going to be a sweet cherry pie in this one, and it's not going to be cherry flavored.
I think you just picked the name of this episode just then. Sweet cherry pie.
I do that a lot, Dano. I'm here all night. So 119 last year against Port Adelaide. I don't know who was rocking for Port Adelaide in that game. Doesn't really matter. Cherry's back. If he's not beating his score from last week, I think he's getting close to it. This is who I want to VC, but I'm afraid I won't have a loophole option. So I think I need to jump on early because I want a loophole. Well, it depends on team sheets, really, as to whether I can loophole or not. But I'm also heading to a gig on Saturday night. So I don't know if I'm going to be quick enough with the VC because my C option is in this next game.
Yeah, yeah, fair. Well, the next game is Giants versus Western Bulldogs. Who is it, Pato? Who's your C option?
Lockie Whitfield.
Lockie motherfucking Whitfield.
153 and 112 against the Dogs last year. One score below 90 all year. Sorry, one score below 100 all year, and that was against the Saints with an 86. He almost scores 110 in his sleep, Dano, and against the really good matchups, which the Dogs are one of those, he could really pop off. And I think we'll see what the Dogs do with that forward line, whether they go a bit smaller to try and counteract that running game of the Giants and put a bit more pressure on. But I just think what Whitfield could get sort of 35 touches here. Whitfield averages 102 against the Dogs. I have a feeling he does really well at Manuka Oval as well. I average 91, so it's nothing too crazy, but I just feel like he's a really good captain option, and I think he's locked in as my captain.
Yep, fair enough. If you're one of the people that's randomly trading in Bontempelli because you just don't listen to us and you just want to bring him in anyway, massive C option. Because there are people that are doing it in Pato. Like, he's been traded in a lot already, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're bringing him in, you may as well fucking captain him. Just like with Butters. Like, I didn't even mention it because people shouldn't be bringing him in. But if you really, really need to, you may as well fucking captain them because you're spending enough on them.
Yeah, just do it. We'll move on. Sunday's game, Swans versus the Suns. I said it the wrong way around. At People First Stadium, there you go. It's the Suns' home game. Yeah, it's a question of who James Jordan goes to, really. Because I think whoever he goes to, the other one of Anderson and Rao will pop off.
Yeah, Rao actually has a really good record against Sydney. Averaged 104 against them in five games. But with that uncertainty of the James Jordan situation, I don't know if you can captain him with any confidence. Or Anderson, either of them.
Well, it's probably likely that Anderson got tagged last year because he got a 50.
Yeah, he did.
One that we haven't really been talking about, Paddo, is Took Miller.
No.
No?
No.
Plod along nicely.
I'll tell you one from this game, Dano.
He hasn't dropped below 100 yet.
And I know he's not in many teams. In fact, he's in just 6% of teams, but Isaac Heaney will probably be left to do whatever he pleases.
Yeah, there's someone that's been underperforming at the start of this season.
Yeah, had a couple of tag games. I feel like Heaney comes into consideration once Mills is back.
You reckon?
Because he'll be able to play a little bit more outside. He'll be able to push forward a bit more because Mills does the defensive work.
So we look at Heaney's scoring, right? He's gone 105, 103, then he had the 78. Then it's 94, 118, 98. So he's only, like, his floor is that 178 game. Then the next two are 94 and 98. So he hasn't been ultra shit, but just probably not a 600K guy like he was. He's dropped 92K and he's at 537 now.
I just get the sense that there's upside there with Mills coming into that midfield group, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yep. Carlton Geelong, Paddo. George.
Yeah. Tom Stewart.
Tom Stewart, George Hewitt, Tom Stewart.
I don't think you could possibly have the confidence in captaining Tom Stewart with his form, but I think he will probably do well. I really hope Patrick Cripps finally has a pounce game. Doesn't have the best record against Geelong, but they have been conceding pretty high scores against midfielders. And maybe they let Patrick Cripps do whatever he wants, but probably not. Yeah, I mean, you can't ignore Hewitt. Is he worth a captain? I mean, if you look at the raw data, absolutely. Yes. But I don't know. Hewitt, fuck it.
Sam Walsh actually likes Geelong.
Who could possibly like Geelong? That place is a fucking dump.
Well, he likes playing them.
As long as he doesn't get any finger injuries while he's down there.
That's true. He's only had two sub 100 scores out of six. 81 in round one, 86 in round three.
Yeah, I just don't know if the ceiling's there with about 50 to 60% CBAs.
He got a 141, but it was against West Coast.
Yeah, exactly. Say no more.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, who's playing West Coast but none other than Hawthorn in the last game? Jai Newcombe. Let's go.
Yeah, Newcombe I really like.
That's about it.
Yeah, for the five people that have James Warple, that might be a decent option.
Oh.
Elijah Hewitt was so good, Dano. He might get tagged in this game. Could you imagine?
I hope not.
Hopefully Tim Kelly gets the tag. Come on, take one for the team.
No, just chuck it to fucking Harley Reid. You know, have you noticed that they've been making him stat pad to get his confidence up?
He was back in the midfield on the weekend.
But he's still taking kick-ins here and there. So, yeah, they're actually stat padding him.
Yeah.
Cheeky bastards. It's like they're trying to justify the pay that they're going to give him.
No, they're trying to raise the trade package.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. Oh, anyway, Paddo, what's your Twitter, X formerly known as Twitter handle?
It's at PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. You can find us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is us signing.
The fuck off. Least we forget.
You say least?
Least we forget.
Isn't it lest?
Least we forget.
Anyway, we're going to just quickly jump back in for the first time ever because we blatantly ignored a really big captain option in the St Kilda game. Paddo, who was it?
It was Jack McRae when we started talking about captains, I said, I've got to talk about Jack McRae because Brisbane don't really tag and they let Nick Dacos get 172 Supercoach. So I think McRae is a really nice option if you think St Kilda are going to be within 30 points.
Yep, there we go. So now we will sign the fuck off.
Lest we forget.
There we go.